enforce our borders. I think we should enforce our borders. To have a situation where 40% of the babies born on Medicaid in California today are born of illegal immigrants creates a very real problem for the state, which is in deficit.
Look, and of course you can enforce the borders.
Let me finish.
I agree.
To have 17% of our prison population at a cost of $300 million a year be illegal immigrants who come here and commit felonies. That's not what this nation is all about.
Of course.
And that's not what this nation is all about. And we'll be talking a little bit more today about birthright citizenship. Welcome in to today's edition of The Daily Perspective. We are broadcasting live today from the MarkandMacShow.com studio. Mark Congleton here with you. Hopefully you're having a great day so far. If you're listening live, it's early yet. Hang on. You'll make it through the day. You'll be just fine. It is a bumpy day in our neighborhood. We are expecting some pretty nasty weather here. It has been very, very windy so far this morning, and there's a thunderstorm watch and a tornado watch in effect for the area. So hopefully it won't hit before we get through with this morning's edition of the podcast. Good morning, and thank you for listening. It is it's a treat to be here with you, and I honestly hope that you're enjoying what you're hearing and that you'll be back again and again to listen to the show. I can't guarantee that we'll be doing a Facebook Live like we are this morning every day, but it's fun, so why not give it a shot from time to time and just have a little treat with it. How about that? Before we get going much further, I want to play something for you that you are not going to see on the mainstream media press, anywhere in the progressive media. You're not going to see this on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. You're not going to see it on any of the leftist news organizations or their programs. You will probably see it on Fox News, but you won't see it anywhere else. So let me just play this for you, and then I will explain to you what it is.
Thank you, President
Trump.
Thank you, President
Trump.
Thank you, Ivanka.
Nobody ever heard of
you. What you're listening to is audio.
Thank you, Ivanka. Thank you, Jared.
Audio from cell phone video shot inside the hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where the victims of the synagogue shooting were treated. And that is the medical staff, one of them, one of the surgeons. And they're all expressing their appreciation and love for Donald Trump and for his family. This is something that is, I believe, very common across America. We're seeing the polling numbers, and you know how I feel about polls. I don't trust polls at all. I really don't trust polls at all. But the polling numbers are telling us that his approval rating is now 50% or slightly above, which is several points higher than Obama's was at this time during his presidency. American approval of our current president is high. The people appreciate Donald Trump. They appreciate the job he's doing. They appreciate the economy. And most importantly, they see through what's happening on the left. Americans have wisened up over the last few years. We were subjected to 8 years of twisted, weird, bizarre, condemnation and preaching from the left. We were deceived. We were flat out lied to. We were taken advantage of. And we got tired of it. We got very, very tired of it. So, we appreciate what's happening now. Now, the left, when I see my liberal friends in social media, they talk about lies. He lies. He's constantly lying. There are X number of thousands of verifiable lies the man has told. But when you ask your friends who say this in social media, can you give me one or two examples? They can't. They just give you links to articles or memes or other friends' posts that have links to articles or memes, but they can't give you examples. They tell you he's a misogynist. When you ask them, can you give me an example? They hold up Stormy Daniels, who we have seen is about as credible as, well, as about as credible as counterfeit cash. And her lawyer, the creepy porn lawyer, Michael Avenatti, even less credible. When you ask them to provide you with evidence that America hates this man, all they can do is provide you with the rantings of people who aren't really paying attention. My wife Jane and I were talking about this morning, about people that she has associations with that are not just, they're just anti-Trump. And they rant on about he shouldn't be doing this. He shouldn't be in Korea, shouldn't be messing around with that, shouldn't be doing this. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, isn't that his job? Aren't they tearing down guard posts along the border between North and South Korea now? Aren't they demilitarizing? Aren't they doing all these things that the process is beginning there that has been talked about? But these people, these poor liberal uninformed people don't know this because their sources for information don't tell them this is going on. Like they don't tell you about this that happened in this hospital in Pittsburgh, where this medical staff, these medical professionals, waited for President Trump and his entourage to go by after visiting and called out to them and thanked them and expressed their love for them. You won't see that anywhere because, I'll just say it, the leftist media, the press, the progressive press, they don't want you to know that America loves their president. They want you to think that America hates their president, which is why they have the rabid talking heads on, talking about everything they can find that's wrong, down to Melania's shoes when she's boarding the helicopter, down to that silly jacket she wore. They're picking at little bitty things. They're like adolescent children having a fight. Oh, yeah? Well, what about this? It's actually sad. But that's what we have today. Something else the mainstream press will not tell you about is what's happening with Project Veritas. O'Keefe's video surveillance, his underground undercover video operation that's going on. He's exposed Planned Parenthood for what and who they are and what they're really doing. And of course, your liberal friends keep saying, yeah, edited video, even though they supplied all of the video out there, every bit of it. And now, in Florida, where there is a contest, a heated contest for the governor's mansion, and this guy, Andrew Gillum, who is a socialist, who has no positive plans for the state and will basically send it along the path of Venezuela, is campaigning hard. And he has people working for him who are campaigning hard. And Project Veritas went inside one of the campaign centers and recorded a staffer. And here, this is a couple of minutes long. Listen to it, and then we'll talk about it, okay? Just give it a listen. if it'll play for me. Come on. Why not? Oh, here it is.
He can do
what
that.
He won. The rules in Florida are f***ed up.
But tell me about it, man.
All right, this is a bad state.
Okay.
It's a cracker state.
Okay.
Okay, ask anybody outside of here. You go to Port St. Lucie, Orlando. Man, them crackers ain't gonna let us do that. No, you crazy? I lived in Tallahassee for 10 years. I've seen it. I went to a black college. Yeah. Even my father's wife, she like, oh, them crackers gonna take over FAMU. They ain't never gonna be shit. They can't get it right. I hear that so much. I'm like, yeah, y'all mother crazy.
Right.
Really?
Well, okay. So
this is the same guy indoors now.
A gentleman called on the phone. And he said, fairy tales in the old days begin with once upon a time. Fairy tales in the modern day begin with once I am elected. Okay? So let's go back to Mr. Gillum's platform. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Raise the corporate tax in Florida from 7% to 11%. That will never happen. Raise teachers' pay to $50,000. That will never happen. Give me another position. Medicare for all.
Medicare, yeah.
That will never happen. Reason being, the legislature that writes the bills is all Republican controlled. Democratic governor, Republican legislature.
So, and I think that's enough to give you the drift of what's going on here. He's very honest that the campaign promises he is making, regardless of how high he is ranked in the polls, will never come to pass because there is a Republican legislature in Florida. So it's just not going to happen. So they know inside the campaign offices, the staffers know that they're lying to the people of Florida. They know that the campaign promises are lies. And what he said to begin with was very true. In the fairy tales, they say once upon a time. And in the campaigns, they say when I am elected. So Andrew Gillum and his people are lying to the state of Florida. They are perpetuating a fairy tale. They are misleading the people of Florida and trying to sell them a socialist bill of goods, which they know they can never bring to pass. But we also know that governors manage to accomplish things by making end runs, by using the laws at their disposal, and they manage to do damage anyway if they're Democrats. Well, if they're professional long-term politicians. So someone like Gillum, who is a socialist, who was caught in a sting by the FBI, taking tickets to see the Broadway musical Hamilton, among other things, who has dodged questions about his misdeeds in debates, is just bald-faced lying to the state of Florida. Where are you going to see reports about this? Not on the Alphabet News. You're just not going to. It won't happen. If they say anything about Project Veritas's reports, what they will say is that they were selectively edited, that they were deceptively recorded, yada, yada, yada. There's a Washington Times article that's making the rounds on social media right now talking about a Project Veritas undercover agent who went into another campaign for a liberal Democrat who was caught. That's what you hear about. You don't hear about the lies and the deception and the misleading campaigning going on in Florida. What you hear about is a Project Veritas agent who got made. They realized she was asking some questions of low-level people that just didn't add up. They put the pieces together, searched for her on the web, and found out she worked for Project Veritas. That you hear about. But this, you don't. So once again, as I've been trying to tell you for a while now, You can't trust the mainstream liberal leftist progressive press. They're misleading you. So what you have to do is turn it off. Stop watching it, stop listening to it, stop reading it, and do your own digging. Go online, find trustworthy sources, and you begin to develop a good feel for what is true and what is not. Then you can really trust your gut. This is The Daily Perspective.
The sale has just begun. Pat,
we're the Barnacle Brothers, and the biggest sale in our history began when you heard the clock start ticking.
It's our 60-second sale.
And you've only got 50 seconds left.
Our doors were closed yesterday.
Our doors were closed this morning.
Our doors will be closed tomorrow.
But our doors are open right now.
But only for another 43 seconds.
We got color televisions for $6.
The camcorders for $3 each.
You need an entire living room set, you'll find it at Barnacle Brothers.
For only $15.
How about a car?
We got this brand new Rolls-Royce stretch limousine for only $20.
But you gotta be here during the 60-second sale now in progress.
Here's a lovely mink coat.
59 cents.
And bars of pure plutonium.
Three for a dollar.
All during the 60-second sale, which began 40 seconds ago.
We didn't give you no warning.
We can't extend the time.
So if you want to save like never before, come to the 60-second sale at Barnacle Brothers.
We'd tell you how to get here, but that'd take up too much time.
Besides, if you're not here already, you ain't gonna make it.
Because the fantastic Barnacle Brothers 60-second sale,
with savings up to 99% off and more,
is now over.
Man, I hate I missed that sale. Christmas is coming up, man. In fact, the Hallmark Channel has already started their Christmas movies. They started them, I think, last week. There are already Christmas ads. There's Christmas merchandise everywhere. It's a little bit crazy, if you ask me. But that's the nature of retail marketing. Bless our hearts. Hey, you can get in touch with me if you'd like to. I'd love to hear from you. You can go to markcongleton.com and click on the contact Mark link, and you can send me a message that way. You can just email me direct, mark@markcongleton.com. You can also find me on Facebook. I'm on every day, Facebook and Twitter. Just search for The Daily Perspective. The Daily Perspective, and you'll find me there. And you can follow along with the insanity or the sanity. I guess if you judge by the standards of that we're being told are the truth, this is insanity. But you and I both know that this is sanity. And what they're trying to sell us is the insanity. You can, what are some other ways? Well, there's so many different ways you can contact. So please do get in touch. Also, if you subscribe to the podcast, you'll get it sent to you every day. You get show notes if you subscribe to the show notes. Just get in touch. Love hearing from you. Hi to Scott. He just said hello. He's listening on Facebook Live, listening/watching. If you are, send me a note. Let me know you're there. And where are we going from here? I just don't know where I'm going from here. Let's see. We did that. We did. Oh, here we go. Back to birthright citizenship. We've been talking about this for the last couple of days, and I have to be honest with you that, I feel like I'm beating this to death, but I think it's very important for you to understand that what we're being told by the progressive press, the leftist media, is not true. The politicians are all saying that if you're born on American soil, you're an American citizen. It's been that way since the beginning of our country. And that's not the way it is. The 14th Amendment was written to nudge certain hesitant states into recognizing children born to former slaves as American citizens. They didn't even include American Indians, Native Americans, in that, because they belong to different nations. So in order to become an American citizen, you had to go through a process. And the 14th Amendment speaks very clearly about jurisdiction. And people who are not American citizens are under the jurisdiction of another nation. So their children are under the jurisdiction of another nation. Now, it wasn't until the 60s that politicians realized there was an advantage to declaring people to be citizens who were born here. I mean, you stop and think about it. Ooh, that's a vote. Ooh, and their family will vote too. That's the motive. Well, President Donald Trump yesterday vowed that he will end birthright citizenship and insisted that legal scholars agree that a phrase in the 14th Amendment means that he would win. He'd be within his rights to end this practice. He promised to keep our country safe and said the Supreme Court would settle the matter. He said in a tweet, "So-called birthright citizenship, which costs our country billions of dollars and is very unfair to our citizens, will be ended one way or the other. It is not covered by the 14th Amendment because of the words, subject to the jurisdiction thereof." Many legal scholars agree. Of course, none of those legal scholars, none of them are liberals. The liberal legal scholars ignore the truth and the reality of history and frame things in their own worldview, which is why you have to dig beyond what the liberal press is telling you. Now, let's see. He followed up later with two more tweets. The first one, he said this: "Harry Reid was right in 1993, before he and the Democrats went insane and started with the open borders, which brings massive crime, the open borders stuff. Don't forget the nasty term anchor babies. I will keep our country safe. This case will be settled by the United States Supreme Court." He then concluded, "The world is using our laws to our detriment. They laugh at the stupidity they see." The jurisdiction phrase has been the subject of much debate over the years and has been argued in the Supreme Court in years past. The court first interpreted the clause in 1872, shortly after the amendment passage, and concluded it was made to establish the citizenship of African Americans while excluding the children of ministers, consuls, and citizens or subjects of foreign states born within the United States. A few years later, in 1898, the court ruled in the case of a Chinese immigrant couple's child, stating that the child was entitled to citizenship because of being born in the United States to parents with permanent domicile. There are some scholars, though, that say that case, the Wong Kim Ark decision, was wrong because the 14th Amendment was misinterpreted. Now, your liberal friends either are completely and totally unaware of the realities of this, or they're just buying what the leftist press is selling them. Most likely the latter. Now, he mentions Harry Reid. And we talked about Harry Reid and what he had to say the other day. Now, he has come back. He has had something else to say about this. Remember, back in 93, former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid declared birthright citizenship was insane. He decried the idea that any baby born to an illegal alien in the United States automatically becomes an American citizen. Reid's comments are a little bit crazy. He's walking them back now because President Trump has taken up the issue in the last few days. He changed his mind. Here's what he actually said. He released a statement. Listen carefully. Quote, "In 1993, around the time Trump was gobbling up tax-free inheritance money from his wealthy father and driving several bankrupt companies into bankruptcy, I made a mistake. After I proposed that awful bill, my wife Landra immediately sat me down and said, 'Harry, what are you doing? Don't you know that my father is an immigrant?' She set me straight. And in my 36 years in Washington, there is no more valuable lesson I learned than the strength and power of immigrants, and no issue I worked harder on than fixing our immigration system." He said, "I had the privilege of learning from heroes like Astrid Silver, who came to this nation as a little girl and has emerged as a powerful leader. Immigrants are the lifeblood of our nation. They are our power and our strength. This president wants to destroy, not build, to stoke hatred instead of unity. He can tweet whatever he wants while he sits around watching TV, but he's profoundly wrong." We are reminded here about how vile, how nasty this man actually is. First, he dips into class envy. Wealthy father, driving several companies into bankruptcy. Donald Trump has started over 200 companies. You know how many of them have gone bankrupt? Five. Five out of 200. Reed is saying his father-in-law was an immigrant. Was he an illegal immigrant, Harry? No. He was here legally, became a citizen. Legal immigrants make the United States a better nation. Legal immigrants. Why? Because they understand the value of becoming part of America. They become Americans. They weave into our fabric and make us better and stronger. Illegals weaken us by hiding in the shadows, draining our system, lowering wages. Legal immigrants are a blessing. Illegal immigrants are a liability. And the thing is that Harry Reid knows this. But he lies, as he always has, because it's politically expedient. Remember, learn the truth in all these things, and the truth will make you free. More to come. This is The Daily Perspective. This is The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here. Good to have you along today. Thanks so much for listening. So many choices out there. So many things you could be listening to. Really do appreciate you listening to this. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's funny how people in the media look at audiences. Dave and I, when all these years doing the Mark and Mac show, we appreciated the audience like you wouldn't believe. They became sort of extended family. And it's different for different people. When it gets larger, audiences become money. And, no lie. I'm not going to lie to you. When our radio show was at its peak, when we were number three in the market in Birmingham, when we were the top-ranked Christian radio morning show in America, the audience numbers became money. And as a result, advertising agencies sought our show out. So that was a good thing. It was a good thing for the station. It was a good thing for the show. It was a good thing for the listeners as well, because it meant we had much more support, much more finance was coming in that enabled us to do more things, to dig deeper and reach further, et cetera, et cetera. When you get onto the national scale, then, yeah, to a degree, there is audience appreciation, because the people who work on shows do appreciate the contact that they have. In the case of a show like Roseanne, it touched a nerve with so many people, it became just a blockbuster and shocked a lot of people. And as a result, the viewership went nuts. I mean, the people tuned in to begin with for a various number of reasons. Once, because it was the reboot of an old show, and people wanted to know, how's this going to work? These people are all older. You know, their lives have changed. It's a different... I mean, the way the world works is a bit different than it was back when the show was on to begin with. So what's this all about? So there was a big curiosity factor at the beginning. Yes. And the numbers dropped a little from episode to episode. And then there was the problem, the situation that happened with Roseanne's tweet with the Planet of the Apes and the Muslim Brotherhood. And all of that. And people made it into something racist. Which I looked at it and I thought, my first thought when I saw it is, wow, people are going to say that's racist. I don't get that from Roseanne. I don't think I ever did get that from Roseanne. Yeah, she was a little crazy. Yeah, she had a reputation for being wacky. She had a reputation for being kind of off the deep end. And people were always wondering, oh, what's Roseanne going to do next? What's she going to say? Oh, that's another embarrassment we've got to take care of. Remember the baseball stadium that she sang the national anthem and grabbed her crotch afterwards and spit? And people were just clutching their pearls and gasping. And you talk to her now and she says, yeah, the pitcher standing back there, he says, hey, what you need to do afterwards is you need to grab your crotch and spit. That'd be really hilarious. So she did it. She thought it'd be funny. Turns out not so much. But she makes this thing, this statement on Twitter about Valerie Jarrett. She has godsons who are black. She has a black godson. She has deep lifelong friends from all kinds of different racial backgrounds. The woman's not a racist. Never has been. She's actually fought for people. She's committed a lot of money to helping people of other backgrounds and other races. And nobody who really knows her will agree that she's a racist person. So ABC clearly was looking for an opportunity to get rid of her because they didn't like her politics. And they did. And they pulled the plug on the show. And a bunch of people who worked on the show besides Roseanne lost their income. And it wasn't just the people you see on camera, because there's many times more people behind the cameras making all that stuff happen. They all lost their income. And then ABC turns around and says, yeah, we're going to bring the show back without Roseanne. It's going to be huge. It's going to be gigantic. It's going to be amazing. And all of us with a brain said, yeah, right. Because we all knew that the reason Roseanne, the show, was a success was because of Roseanne, the person. Well, ABC brought it back. Called it the Conners. Bumped Roseanne off to opioid addiction. She died from an opioid overdose. Had a decent showing on its debut episode. Decent. Not outstanding. Not world-shattering. Decent. And I said, there will be a curiosity factor. People will check in to see what's happening with this, the Roseanne show without Roseanne. And I was right. There were a lot of people that showed up for the first week. Not so many the next week. And now the Conners has dropped in everything. Everything. This week. Total viewers, the key demo, the nightly ratings battle, the Roseanne spinoff is continuing to trend downward. The Conners was beaten by everything on television the other night. NCIS, The Voice. The Voice! It was beaten by everything. This was their first really objective run. There was no World Series, nothing distracting potential viewers. This was their chance to prove themselves. But the key demographic sank. That's not a good sign. The total viewers were down by 180,000 people. That's a lot. A lot. People are leaving the show, and they're not tuning back in. They're not coming back. ABC has ordered one extra episode. They originally ordered 10. That's not a full season. And they've ordered one extra episode. And there are those who say ordering that one episode, that additional episode, is ABC telling them, wrap it up, produce a finale. That's your swan song. That's the end. Wrap everything up. You know, what are they going to do? Somebody, it's going to be like the Who Shot JR, like Dallas. Somebody wakes up and they says they dream that Roseanne died. You hear her cackling in the next room. Variety. The entertainment reg, Variety, is reporting that John Goodman, Laurie Metcalf, Sarah Gilbert, they're each being paid $375,000 per episode. Now, you and I would dream of making that in, what, 10 years? They're making it per episode. Let's say Lacey Goranson and Michael Fishman get $100,000 apiece. The kids, DJ's ex-wife, that's a lot of money. One of the ratings falling. The Connors has... It's never gonna reach the 100 episodes to have its own syndication package. So that what they'll have to do is they'll have to tack it onto the Roseanne syndication package. So the Werner TV, the production company, they're in trouble. Millions of dollars going out, not enough coming back. Financially, the Connors is a black hole. It's a money pit. It's not making money. And after the 10 episodes are over, and that 11th. Which will probably be them wrapping things up. It's gone. Now, who could have possibly seen this coming? Only every person in the world with a brain. That's who. Because people, you and I, regular people. Yes, I'm a regular person. Stop that. Regular people saw this for what it was. People who are honest with themselves realized ABC knee-jerked. They looked for an opportunity to punish someone. So they punished Roseanne Barr by taking her show away from her and throwing her out into the cold. This is progressivism in action. You know, I keep saying that progressives see themselves as morally and intellectually superior to everyone else. So they are right to punish someone for having the wrong politics. And that's what happened here. I said to Dave on the show when this happened, I said, this is, they were looking for an opportunity. Roseanne was a problem for them. She was hugely popular, a ratings explosion, a monster, extremely popular, highly profitable. The bottom line for the Roseanne show was huge. Lots and lots and lots of advertising revenue coming in. But Roseanne was a Trump supporter. And that, as far as the progressive left is concerned, is an unpardonable sin. So, in the religion of progressivism, they had to punish her. She had to be dealt with, regardless of the imagery, the optics, they had to deal with it. So, how dare you support someone who is evil in our eyes? How dare you? And they looked for the opportunity, and the Valerie Jarrett tweet was the opportunity. So they jumped on it, they cut her loose, and they cut off their own nose to spite their face. So now, the Connors, their attempt to prove that they didn't need Roseanne Barr to be successful, is a flop. Nobody cares about it. They're not watching it. And it's really because, A, Roseanne's not there, and B, ABC and the progressive left is arrogant. And now they're suffering for their own arrogance. This is The Daily Perspective. Well, good morning, the day after Halloween. Welcome to November 1st. We're just a handful of days away from the midterm election. And hopefully you are registered and you are going to be active and you are going to vote red to stop the lunacy of the left, the lies of progressivism. And someone who is very firmly on the left, someone who is a liberal and well known for their liberalism and is a Hollywood gossip icon, kind of tying this back into Roseanne and then moving forward, the king of Hollywood gossip, Perez Hilton. It turns out he agrees with Donald Trump on something. Yep, he is a self-described liberal, and he threw his weight behind President Donald Trump on the issue of birthright citizenship the other day. He said this, "I don't agree with Donald Trump on many things." This was on Twitter. "But I do think that if a child is born in America to parents who are illegally here, that they should not be granted automatic citizenship. And I say this as a liberal and a Latina. Now, critics went insane. Immediately went insane. And I will not repeat the things that they said. I just won't. This is in our show notes. Make sure you check out the show notes. You can subscribe to those by going to, you can go to markcongleton.com. Go to the website. There's a link for subscribing to the show notes. Have them sent to you, or you can catch them when they go online. They post online every day as well. But all of the comments will be in that. But here is a guy who may turn you off. You may disagree with 90% of the time, 98% of the time, 99% of the time. But he looks at a situation objectively and says, well, that's crazy. And the left puts him on a barbecue spit and rotates him over the coals. Why? Because he stepped out of line. He stepped out of line and isn't following the narrative. And that cannot happen. Like I said about Roseanne, she dared not to agree with the progressives. She dared not to conform. And they crucified her for it. And they'll do the same thing to anybody else that disagrees with them. Anybody. Just remember that. While I was looking through things to talk about, I ran across this article. Ann Coulter released it the other day. Actually, yesterday. And it's called The True History of Millstone Babies. And I want to read it to you. I'm going to read you the article. And then if we have some time, we'll dig into it. Here we go. Having mastered fake news, now the media are trying out a little fake history. In the news business, news topics are always popping up. From the Logan Act and the emoluments cause to North Korea, the all-star panel rush to Wikipedia so they can pretend to be experts on things they knew nothing about an hour earlier. Such is the case today with anchor babies and birthright citizenship. People who know zilch about the history of the 14th Amendment are pontificating magnificently and completely falsely on the issue du jour. If you'd like to be the smartest person at your next cocktail party by knowing the truth about the 14th Amendment, this is the column for you. Of course, the president can end the citizenship of anchor babies by executive order for the simple reason that no Supreme Court or U.S. Congress has ever conferred such a right. It's just something everybody believes to be true. How could anyone, even a not very bright person, imagine that granting citizenship to the children of illegal aliens is actually in our Constitution? The first question would be, why would they do that? It's like being accused of robbing a homeless person. Why would I? The Supreme Court has stated repeatedly that the main object of the Citizenship Clause of the 14th Amendment was to settle the question as to the citizenship of free Negroes by making them citizens of the United States and of the state in which they reside. Democrats, the entire media, and the House Speaker, Paul Ryan, seem to have forgotten the Civil War. They believe that immediately after a war that ended slavery, Americans rose up as one and demanded that the children of illegals be granted citizenship. You know what's really bothering me? If someone comes into the country illegally and has a kid, that kid should be an American citizen. You mean that's not already in the Constitution? Give me a scenario, just one scenario, where the post-Civil War amendments would be intended to grant citizenship to the kids of Chinese ladies flying to birthing hospitals in California, or pregnant Latin Americans sneaking across the border in the back of flatbed trucks. You can make it up. It doesn't have to be a true scenario, any scenario. As the court has explained again and again, quote, no one can fail to be impressed with the one pervading purpose found in the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, lying at the foundation of each, and without which none of them would have been even suggested, we mean the freedom of the slave race, the security and firm establishment of that freedom, and the protection of the newly made free man and citizen from the oppression of those who had formerly exercised unlimited dominion over him. And that's why the amendment refers to people who are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States and of the free state wherein they reside, For generations, African Americans were domiciled in this country. The only reason they weren't citizens was because of slavery, which the country had just fought a civil war to end. The 14th Amendment fixed that. The amendment didn't even make Indians citizens. Why? Because it was about freed slaves. 16 years after the 14th Amendment was ratified, the Supreme Court held that an American Indian, John Elk, was not a citizen, despite having been born here. Instead, Congress had to pass a separate law, making Indians citizens, which it did, more than half a century after the adoption of the 14th Amendment. It's easy to miss. The law is titled the Indian Citizenship Act of 1924. Why would such a law be necessary if simply being born in the U.S. was enough to confer citizenship? Even today, the children of diplomats and foreign ministers are not granted citizenship on the basis of being born here. President Trump, unlike his critics, honors black history by recognizing that the whole purpose of the Civil War amendments was to guarantee the rights of freed slaves. But the left has always been bored with black people. If they start gassing on about civil rights, you can be sure it'll be about transgenders, the abortion ladies, or illegal aliens. Liberals can never seem to remember the people whose ancestors were brought here as slaves, i.e. the only reason we even have civil rights laws. Still, it requires breathtaking audacity to use the Civil War amendments to bring in cheap foreign labor, which drives down the wages of African Americans, the very people the amendments were written to protect. Whether the children born to illegal immigrants are citizens is controversial enough. But at least there's a Supreme Court decision claiming that they are, the U.S. versus Wong Kim Ark. That's birthright citizenship. It's something else entirely to claim that an illegal alien subject to deportation can drop a baby and suddenly claim to be a parent of a citizen. This crackpot notion was concocted by liberal zealot Justice William Brennan and slipped into a footnote as a dicta in a 1982 case. Dicta means it was not the ruling of the court, just a random aside with zero legal significance. Left-wing activists seized on Brennan's aside and browbeat everyone into believing that anchor babies are part of our great constitutional heritage, emerging straight from the pen of James Madison. No Supreme Court ever held that children born to illegal aliens are citizens. No Congress has deliberated and decided to grant that right. It's a made-up right, grounded only in the smoke and mirrors around Justice Brennan's 1982 footnote. Obviously, it would be better if Congress passed a law clearly stating that children born to illegals are not citizens. Trump won't be president forever. But until it happens, the President of the United States is not required to continue a ridiculous practice that has absolutely no basis in law. It's often said that journalism is the first draft of history. As we now see, fake news is the first draft of fake history. She's absolutely right, my friend. Hopefully you'll take this into the day and chew on it a little bit, mentally speaking, and realize that what we're being told by the alphabet media and our liberal friends is all based on a footnote on a case with no legal weight whatsoever. That's it for today. God bless you. Thanks for joining me today as we Facebook Live the show. Have a great one. This is the Daily Perspective.